Good evening. Welcome to The Rock. I'm Josh Whitney. This is part 10 of our study of Proverbs. We're going through the book of Proverbs topically. If you remember, God had offered Solomon whatever he wanted. What did Solomon ask for?
Wisdom.
Wisdom is key for life. The book of Proverbs is just a dad teaching his son how to be wise. The book promises the simple to help the simple learn wisdom, and the book promises to help the wise grow wiser still. And wisdom is the proper application of knowledge to your life. In our downtown small groups, we're discussing about half of these Proverbs teachings. So this teaching tonight on pride, you will discuss on Wednesday in small group. So on your handout, I put a whole stink load of verses. These are all the verses that I was compiling as I was plowing through the topic of pride and humility. And they're there for a study aid for you this next week as you prepare for a small group. So pay attention tonight, take good notes, and share what God taught you related to the subject of pride with your small group. Pride is an epic topic. Its roots run deep in our heart. David Rhodes compared it to a dandelion. He said, "Pride is the dandelion of the soul. Its root goes deep. Only a little left behind sprouts again. Its seed lodges in the tiniest encouraging cracks, and it flourishes in good soil. The danger of pride is that it feeds on goodness." That's true. There's so many different types of pride. It's a difficult subject to cover in one teaching, but we'll do our best, and God will help us. So what is pride? Some people think pride is a good thing, and some people think pride is a bad thing. Here's the dictionary definition of pride. Pride is having a high opinion of one's own dignity, importance, or merit. Having high self-respect or self-esteem. You go, well, that sounds all right. How about humility? The dictionary says humility means a modest opinion or estimate of one's own importance or having feelings of insignificance or inferiority. You go, well, that doesn't sound so hot. Let's look at it in the Bible. The Bible definition, the root of the Hebrew word for pride means to be lofty, to be elevated, or to rise up. So when you hear the word pride, I want you to think of someone who elevates themselves. When you hear pride, you just think elevating yourself. And the root of the Hebrew word humility is to bend the knee, to bring down, to bring low. So again, the word picture I want in your mind when you think of someone who's being humble is someone who's lowering themselves. So if you're proud, you're elevating yourself. If you're humble, you're lowering yourself. And that is the first two and only blanks on your handout. Elevate. If you're being proud, to have pride is to elevate yourself. To have humility is to lower yourself. That's the big picture item. This is an unusual subject because there's different opinions. Generally speaking, our culture thinks it's good to have pride. We should have a high self-esteem. We should be proud of who we are and what we've accomplished. This idea that pride is good is reflected in a variety of quotes. Some funny, some not so funny. Let's start with a funny one. Maybe you saw the recent movie Megamind. Megamind goes out on a date. It's a terrible date. His assistant Minion warned him not to go on the date. When Megamind comes back, he says, "Okay, Minion, you were right. I was less right." This hat is sort of a pride statement in and of itself. You can buy this online right now. It says on the front, "It's not bragging." Down there in the micro small font, it says, "If you can back it up," or some versions say, "If it's true." Maybe you saw this news story yesterday. Allen Iverson, former NBA star, according to CNN.com, he launched into an expletive-ridden tirade when the police pulled him over because his car was violating some traffic law. According to the police report, Allen Iverson said, "Take the vehicle, I have 10 more." And then later he said to the police, "Do you know who I am?" And then he dropped, "I make more money than you will in 10 years. Allen Iverson has a pretty high view of himself. How about this guy? Muhammad Ali, 1963, he's a famous boxer. He said, "I'm not the greatest, I'm the double greatest. Not only do I knock him out, I pick the round. I'm the boldest, the prettiest, the most superior, most scientific, most skillfulest fighter in the ring today." He had a pretty lofty view of himself and his boxing ability. How about this guy? John Lennon, singer for the Beatles in 1966 in a newspaper article said, "Christianity will go, it will vanish and shrink. I need not argue that. I'm right and I will be proved right. We are more popular than Jesus now." He had a pretty high opinion of his band's worth. How about this dude? 1998, James Cameron won Best Director for the film Titanic. After winning the award, he screamed, "I'm the king of the world!" He's quoting one of the characters in his movie. But again, James Cameron had a very high self-respect. He had very high self-esteem. Obviously, some of these are extreme examples of pride, but people tend to value pride and look down on humility because they think humility implies a lack of worth. But what does God think of the proud person? What does God think of the humble person? Remember, what is pride? Pride is when you what? Elevate yourself. And humility is when you lower yourself. So are you elevating yourself above God and above your fellow man, or are you lowering yourself below God and below your fellow man? There's a bunch of different types of pride, which we will get into tonight. But let's look at some verses that show us God's opinion of pride. Here's a classic verse. A bunch of these verses are on your handouts. Some are not. This verse is quoted multiple times in the New Testament. Proverbs 3:34, "He, God, mocks proud mockers, but gives grace to the humble." Or how about Proverbs 6:16? "There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood," and it continues. That second verse is kind of wild. At the top of a list of sins that includes lying and murder, God throws in haughty or proud eyes. How about this verse? God says the same thing in Proverbs 8:13, "I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech." Or that second verse, Proverbs 15:25, "The Lord tears down the proud man's house, but he keeps the widow's boundaries intact." Like, we get it. Pretty clear verses, Josh. God is not so cool with pride. But they keep going. Let's read two more. Proverbs 16:5, "The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished." And one more, 16:18, "Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall." So these verses are very clear. If you are elevating yourself, it's pretty clear what God thinks of it. Where did pride originate? Satan, Lucifer, the devil. He was once a beautiful angel, but he fell. And Isaiah 14 seems to be a reference to the devil and his fall. Isaiah 14, verse 12. "How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, 'I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost height of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High.' But you are brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit." So Satan is the ultimate example of pride. He tried to elevate himself above God, and God brought him down. Ultimately, the devil will be brought down into the pit of hell forever. Or Augustine put it so succinctly, he said, "Pride changed angels into devils." So this is just a sampling of verses in Proverbs related to pride. There's a bunch of them in the Bible, but it's crystal clear. If you are proud, if you are elevating yourself, you're in trouble. You're in deep trouble. It says God mocks proud people. He finds pride detestable. He will punish and destroy proud people. Well, Josh, I'm a Christian. My eternal destiny is set. That doesn't mean God will not let you destroy yourself with your pride in the here and now. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean God will not protect you from the consequences of your pride. Maybe you're wondering, like I did as I studied this, why does God really, really not like pride? I can think of two reasons. One is, he is God and we are not. When I think of elevating yourself, I think of mountain climbing. Here's a picture of Ensign Peak. It's right behind the state capitol. It's got the little monument thing on top of it. You have to climb up about a half a mile. You go up about 400 feet and you're up at 5,400 vertical feet. What if you walked up on top and you're like, "Look at this great view. Look what I have climbed. I am the king of Salt Lake City." Then what if God materialized beside you and he grabbed you and said, "Let's go see a different mountain"? God took you over here and you're looking up at Mount Everest. God's like, that's Mount Everest. It's 29,000 vertical feet, but I didn't hike it. I made it with a word. And God was like, I made every mountain with a word, including the little foothill. It could be kind of like a Job moment between you and God. And God might turn to you and say, did you just drop a, I'm the king of Salt Lake City on me? One reason I think that God hates pride is because it is an attack on his power and might. Look what I've done. I've climbed this mountain. God's like, I made the universe. Our pride is an attack on God's power. But a second and more amazing reason I think God hates pride is found in this verse. Philippians 2:5 says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. God at his very core is humble. God humbled himself to become a man and die on the cross for us. We cannot wrap our mind around how amazingly humble that was. The God of the universe that made everything that we see became a human being. He's the example of service. The God-man who created the planets and the galaxies and the universe is down on his knees washing his disciples' feet. There's so much humility in Jesus doing that, we cannot comprehend it. When you serve, you're following in Jesus' footsteps. If you don't serve, you're proud. Here's a good quote. Roy Hessian said it this way. He said, the reason we have to be humble in order to walk with God is not because God is so big and we are so little, but because God is so humble. The core of humility is lowering yourself below other people to serve them like Jesus. So fundamentally, if you are elevating yourself, lifting yourself higher, you are proud. And that puts you in the same group as the devil, and God promises destruction in your life. But if you're lowering yourself, you're bending your knee to your fellow man and a God, that puts you in the same category as Jesus, and God promises amazing blessings for the humble. Look at these verses. We already read Proverbs 3:34, but look at the second part. God mocks proud God mocks proud mockers, but gives grace to the humble. Or Proverbs 18, before his downfall, a man's heart is proud, but humility comes before honor. Or Proverbs 22, humility and fear of the Lord bring wealth, honor, and life. So you humble yourself, you lower yourself, God promises grace, honor, wealth, and life. You elevate yourself, God promises to mock, destroy, and punish you. Well, if those are my options, I'll choose the first one. With your spouse, do you choose the path of pride where you elevate yourself in fights with them, or do you choose the path of humility, lowering yourself and being humble with your spouse? God promises either grace and honor in your marriage or destruction and punishment. And I would rather have God's grace in my marriage than him letting my sinful pride destroy my marriage. This is sort of a sidebar, but pride is a root sin. Think through some of our previous Proverbs teachings. Mac talked about teachability. Some of you are not very teachable because you're proud and you think you know everything. Bill talked about anger. Some of you may have a big problem with anger because in your heart you're like, do you know who I am? How dare you do this to me? And then Mac talked on honesty. Maybe it is hard for you to be honest. You always find yourself lying because you want to present yourself in the best possible light. Or last week, Bill talked on relationships. It is very hard to have good relationships with people when you're proud. Proud people can be very lonely people. So you're like, pride is bad, humility is good. Got it. I want to spend the rest of our teaching discussing the different types or signs of pride. If God promises to destroy proud people, it is critical you and I learn how to humble ourselves, to lower ourselves before God and before our fellow man. You can't just go, pride, bad, humility, good. You have to apply that knowledge to your life. And I know there's some of you thinking, well, this will be kind of painful as we get into the practical examples, because I am frankly pretty proud. There's wisdom for you in the Bible to change and grow. Others of you are thinking, well, I'm pretty humble, frankly. Then you failed. You have absolutely failed. William Law said this, He said, you can have no greater sign of confirmed pride than when you think you are humble enough. Proud people refuse to learn from the Bible. They refuse to learn from sermons. If you do not learn from this teaching, it is because you are proud, because God's Word and God's Holy Spirit can use even the weakest preaching to teach people if they're humble. But if your heart is proud, God has nothing to say to you. So let's look at a number of different types of pride. We're just going to kind of shotgun through them pretty fast. The first type of pride is what I call image pride. Proud people care about their image. They want to make sure they look better or elevated compared to the people around them. They want to be in the middle of everybody and above everybody. Am I in the center? And am I above? Image pride. If it's not about them, they will make it about them through their clothes, their words, their actions. They try to appear better than everyone. Kind of a humorous story. The servant of an emperor was describing his emperor. He said this, I cannot deny my master was proud. He had to be the central figure in everything he went to. If he went to a baby christening, he wanted to be the baby. If he went to a wedding, he wanted to be the bride. If he went to a funeral, he wanted to be the corpse. Is that what you're like? You're like, man, I would like to make everyone talking about me. How can I elevate myself in this conversation or in this meeting or hanging out with my friends? Look at these verses. Proverbs 12:9. Better to be a nobody and yet have a servant than to pretend to be a somebody and have no food. Or Proverbs 13, one man pretends to be rich yet has nothing. Another pretends to be poor yet has great wealth. Both of these verses address pride because the proud person wants to appear to be something they are not. A proud person buys a big home they can't afford to impress people. They drive around in fancy cars they can't afford to appear more wealthy or powerful. Their clothes, their image is all driven about around this desire to appear elevated or better than everyone else. But pride moves from the obvious to the not so obvious. That small group, do you strive to make yourself appear spiritual instead of honestly answering the question? Do you just think, what can I say that makes me sound smart? Or you say, what can I say that make these people think I haven't sinned in 4 years? Or when you're praying in small group, do you pray honestly and real, or do you think, how does this make me sound? Do I sound spiritual? Do I sound good? Do people think I'm more godly because I pray a certain way? Years ago, my pastor, he moved away, and they raised up a new pastor for our college group, and I was so proud. I was like, they made him a pastor? Oh, I was like, I can lead way better than that guy. I know more about him. I'm more about God than him, more about the Bible. I'm more gifted than him. And that was just in my mind for weeks and months. And God said to me with a megaphone eventually, he's like, you are proud. And I'm never going to raise you up as long as you're continuing to push yourself up. He's like, you need to humble yourself and you need to make this man successful. You need to put yourself under his authority. God worked on my heart, and I humbled myself, and I lowered myself, and I quit walking around thinking, I'm better than this guy, more talented and gifted. I should be the leader. God will never recognize someone who has a heart like that. But I bended my knee, I was humble, and eventually God raised me up as a leader. It says in Proverbs 25, do not exalt yourself in the king's presence. Do not claim a place among great men. It is better for him to say to you, come up here, than for him to humiliate you before a noble man and say, go back down. Or same chapter, verse 27, it is not good to eat too much honey, nor it is honorable to seek one's own honor. Are you the person who has to toot your own horn? Oh, I've got to tell you about something great I did. Oh, you've got to hear how I served so-and-so in our house church. Oh, I was so good. Let me tell you about this great thing this brother said about me. Oh, it was so nice. Oh, let me tell you how educated I am. Let me tell you how much money I make. Let me tell you about how this amazing thing I did with my kids. I love church meetings because I can just show up and just tell people how godly I am for an hour. It's so awesome. This desire to elevate compared to the people around you plays out in a couple other ways. Proud people are really bothered when people don't recognize their achievement. They're like, wait a minute, no one acknowledged me. Please acknowledge what I did. Because they need to be elevated. They need to be lifted up. And another thing that really bugs proud people, people that have this image pride, is when someone else gets elevated. They see someone else get a promotion or a raise or a compliment or get pregnant or get married, and the proud person thinks, oh, that should be happening to me. Why am I not getting elevated? How dare you get lifted up like that? It is difficult for a proud person to be excited about God blessing someone else's life. Are you marked by image pride, this desire to appear elevated compared to the people around you? Another type of pride, we'll just call it praise pride. Proud people let praise or compliments go to their head. This verse is very insightful in Proverbs 27, 21. The crucible for silver, the furnace for gold, but man is tested by the praise he receives. When someone compliments you, that's a test. Do you allow that praise to swell your ego, or do you deflect the praise to God, either out loud or in your heart? How does the famous sports cliche go? They're starting to believe their own press clippings. They're starting to believe their hype. That's a team that is about to get humbled. When people compliment you, do you say a simple thank you and tell yourself it's only by God's grace that I can do anything? Or do you think, I am the man. It's good you appreciated me. Josh, why should we be humble about our accomplishments? After all, we did the hard work to get those accomplishments. Who gave you the mind to solve problems so quickly? Who gave you your body that can work really hard and do a 78-hour work week? Who gave you your job? Who saved you? Who gave you the ability to interact with people like you do? Who gave you the ability to be the spouse you are? Who gave you the ability to be the parent you are? God, 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 God. C.J. Mahaney put it this way. He said, pride is when sinful human beings aspire to the status and position of God and refuse to acknowledge their dependence upon Him. We can work hard to succeed in our job or in school or in our relationships, but we must know that success in those areas is from God. God gave us the ability. Don't be this guy. This is from the movie Shenandoah. I've quoted this before. I love this prayer. Jimmy Stewart plays Charlie Anderson. He's a farmer guy. This is his prayer at dinner with his kids. Lord, we cleared this land. We plowed it. We sowed it. We harvested it. We cooked the harvest. It wouldn't be here, and we wouldn't be eating it if we hadn't done it all ourselves. We worked dog bone hard for every crumb and morsel, but we thank you just the same, Lord, for the food we're about to eat. Amen. Don't be Charlie Anderson. Are you marked by praise pride? When someone compliments you, what does that do to your ego? And do you think that you deserve praise because of your hard work? The third type of pride, what we'll call correction pride. Proud people hate being corrected. How dare you correct me? Who do you think you are correcting me? Don't you know who I am? I'm so much godlier than you. How dare you say that I am wrong? I've been saved longer than you. You're not even a leader and you think you can correct me. Or proud people will use something about the correction as an excuse to ignore the correction. You were mean when you corrected me. I know you struggle with sins way worse than this one, hypocrite. There's some pretty strong verses on correction and pride in Proverbs. Mac hit a number of these a month ago, but I want to remind you of a couple of them. But first, in Proverbs 21:24, it says, if you mock people, you're proud. If you're a mocker, you're proud. So look at this verse, 9:7. Whoever corrects a mocker or a proud person invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a proud man or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Instruct a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will add to his learning. If someone tries to correct you and you go nuts, you're proud. If your friends who love you and pray for you and hang out with you and care for you call you on a sin and you just freak out and you're like, get out of here, and you slam the door and walk away, that is just pride. And don't kid yourself. You will bring that same arrogance, just freight training into your marriage, and you will destroy your marriage if you do not learn how to humble yourself. Proud people make the worst spouses, the worst parents, the worst kids, the worst workers, and the worst believers, period. And those of you in the room that are proud and are married, How do you react when your spouse corrects you? Well, she said it mean. He's always picking on me. He never tells me anything good. She corrected me when I was tired. He sinned way bigger than I did. Pride, 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 pride. Proverbs 13. A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not listen to rebuke. Or Proverbs 29, a man who remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. Your reaction to correction demonstrates how proud you are. Because the verses we just read are crystal clear. If you take correction poorly, you are proud. Proud people hate being corrected because they think they know everything about... Wait a minute. You are correcting me? I thought I'd achieve perfection in life. What's going on here? On the other hand, if you take correction well, you are humble. May it never be said of anyone in this room, he or she was pure in her own eyes, but full of sin. God uses people correcting you to point out the sin in your life. And your pride or your humility will demonstrate people, this is a person that I can correct, or this is a person that I'm just going to stay away from. Do you invite correction in your life with your marriage, your Christian walk, your parenting? Do you invite godly people to speak in your life? Hey, speak into my life. Correct me. Teach me. Help me become better in this area. Are you an easy person to call on sin, or do people never call you on anything because they know you will blow up and react poorly? Are you marked by correction pride? Imagine right now in your mind someone who you consider to be less mature in the faith than you coming up to you and correcting you on something. How do you respond? Do you take it humbly or do you get proud and defensive? Another type of pride is combat pride. Proud people get in fights. Or put another way, when Christians are fighting with each other, guaranteed there's pride there. I mentioned the verse earlier, Proverbs 21, 24. It says, the proud and arrogant man, mocker is his name. He behaves with overweening pride. You mock people, you're proud. Well, Josh, I just like picking on people. You're pushing people down by making fun of them. Okay, so mocking equals pride. So look at these two verses here. Proverbs 13, pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Or Proverbs 22, drive out the mocker or the proud man and out goes strife, quarrels, and insults are ended. Do you get in a lot of verbal fights with your spouse or your parents or your kids or your friends? If this is you, you may be very proud because pride and the resulting fights have destroyed many relationships between husband and wife, parents and kids, and once close friends. Let me illustrate with a series of pictures. If you have two proud people, the relationship is doomed. If one person is humble and the other person is proud, the relationship can survive as long as the humble person chooses to be humble. But if both people choose to be humble, then the relationship becomes amazing. I know the pictures are kind of silly, but the truth in those pictures is rock solid, people. Well, Josh, you see, I get in fights with proud jerks because someone needs to tell the proud jerks they're proud jerks. Oh, I see, so simple. Or maybe you're thinking, Josh, I don't get in fights with people. I just harbor resentment in my heart towards the person because I'm right, and I'm not going to talk to the person because I'm right and they're wrong, and I will just grow my little heart of bitterness towards them. Well done. Are you marked by combat pride? Are you always getting in fights with people? Another type of pride is counsel pride. In other words, proud people do not seek counsel about their life. Proud people do not seek counsel about their life because, duh, they figured it all out. Hello? They have the maximum wisdom related to their life. If you have no godly authorities in your life, if you just make decisions about work and school and relationships and all that stuff without getting any counsel, then my goodness, you are proud. Look at these verses, Proverbs 16. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Or Proverbs 28, he who trusts in himself is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom is kept safe. So before I got married, I started dating this woman. I didn't seek out any counsel on the situation. I was just like, I like her. She likes me. We're going to start dating. I know my life better than everybody else. I can see things very clearly about us that no one else can see. I don't need anyone else's input on this relationship. It ended up being a big mistake, and God used the whole thing to humble me big time, to beat a lot of pride out of Josh Whitney, because I went into this decision, I didn't get any counsel, and then when I started to get counsel from people, I just deflected it away. God was like, you are a proud son of a gun, Josh Whitney, and you are going to learn to need to be humble, and a big way you demonstrate humility is by getting counsel and listening to counsel. So before I started my relationship with my wife, my prayer was, God, I want my pastor to say this is amazing. I want my godly dad to say this is amazing. And obviously, I want the woman to say this is amazing when I start talking to her. This humility in seeking out counsel should extend to day-to-day stuff too, like parenting or money or your marriage. Are you marked by counsel pride? Do you get godly counsel about your life? If you don't, it could just reflect a purely proud heart. Kind of an editorial note, but there are so many different types of pride. Like I said earlier, pride is absolutely pervasive. Its root just runs in all these areas in our life. The last couple months, as I've been meditating on this thought of pride in these verses, and I've been overwhelmed by the different areas that I see in my own life and in the believers around me where we're just elevating ourselves. We're just pushing other people down, and we're pushing ourselves up. I've seen a number of situations where I've demonstrated pride. Even this week, I was in a meeting with some guys, and one of the brothers said he was telling us about this hard thing he was dealing with, and I was like, well, I've got something hard I'm dealing with too. Let me elevate myself above you. And I'm driving home. I was like, yeah, it's fantastic. We are constantly trying to elevate ourselves above other people. I do not have time to develop all these different types of pride sufficiently, but Augustine said this, pride is pregnant with all other sins. That's so true. Look at these other areas. Maybe you are a worrier. Wow, the heart of worry could be pride because you are elevating yourself above God. You're saying, it all depends upon me. It's my job to take care of every detail of my life, or at least worry myself sick about every detail of my life. And God's like, hey, cowboy, why don't you give me the keys to the car? Why don't you get out of the driver's seat, go in the back seat, and let me take over driving here? Or maybe trials. Your poor reaction to difficult things in your life could be due to pride. You're basically saying, no, no, no. This should not be happening to me, God. I know the best plan for my life, and this is not it. Newsflash, we are not God. Again, God's like, please step out of the seat, step down from the throne, let me regain the seat as king of the universe, and you trust me even in the midst of difficult things you don't understand. Or maybe you throw yourself a pity party. You're a drama queen. Josh, clearly I don't struggle with pride. I would not be crying all the time if I had feelings of superiority. Maybe. But maybe it's this desire to be the center of attention and have everybody talking about you. So the fact that you are a big drama queen, pity party person is just because you want everybody talking about and focusing and looking at you. Or maybe driving. Driving could be a way that you have pride. Well, Josh, I race past everyone, bonus lighting them and pulling in the front of the line because I am very important. I see the lights yellow and it's about to go red, but I hammer the accelerator because I have a lot of important places to go. I'm the king of the road. These dopes can wait for me. Pride could be manifesting itself in your driving. There are so many different ways that we are elevating ourselves. My prayer has been that as a church, you guys are just thinking about the situations in your life where you're elevating yourself and that you start learning how to lower yourself in those situations. Another type of pride is intellectual pride. Pride is so pervasive, it can take something good like our intelligence and turn it into wicked sin. Classic verse, 1 Corinthians 8. Now about food sacrificed to idols, we know that we all possess knowledge, and knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. The man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know. In Christian circles, this intellectual pride can extend to our Bible studies. Our hearts are so wicked and pride is so powerful that we can take something good like studying the Bible and we can turn it into absolute sin. We think that I understand the Bible perfectly. Did you all know that? Obviously. And it makes us absolutely arrogant jerks when we discuss our theology with other people. A brother shared this quote with me, and I love it. Rick Warren said this. He's speaking of the Bible. He says, "The Bible is inerrant and authoritative, but I don't mean all my interpretations of it are inerrant and authoritative." There's so much humility in what Rick Warren is saying there. We would do well to meditate on that verse and apply it to our own lives. And a different friend emailed me a short fictional letter. It's sort of a continuation of C.S. Lewis's book, Screwtape Letters. If you're not familiar with this book, it's sort of a fictional conversation between two demons. It's a great book. You should read it. This is sort of a continuation of it. I'll just read a small section of it. So this is a demon writing a letter to another demon about a Christian. We use my demon voice. "Dearest Belzvar, I will not be able to talk tomorrow if I do that any longer than that. So, "Dearest Velsvar, your recent report has been received." This is one demon writing a letter to another demon. "We do note your concern that things might have taken a turn for the worse. Perhaps they have. But we would not worry as much that your target has developed an almost insatiable thirst for theology. We do not say this can be ignored, but at the same time, we would caution you against any panic. If properly managed, you may find this actually works to our advantage and not the enemy's. A battle for a man's soul can be fought in many ways: head-on, forceful confrontations by tempting him with worldly pleasure, but often very effective. There are other ways to equally attack him. You must do this with your budding theologian. Instead of discouraging him in his quest, encourage it, inflame it. Get him so absorbed in theology he has no other time for any other Christian virtue. No time for prayer, no time for helping others. Bring him into association with others of like passion, that his interest might be stimulated all the more. Encourage him to spend time getting straight the details of his theology while never examining the condition of his own soul. Give him a sense of great satisfaction in displaying his knowledge and pointing out the theological shortcomings of other believers. Increasing knowledge can puff up your prospect with selfish pride. You need not destroy his thirst for theological knowledge, but simply cause him to neglect one or more other Christian virtues. So long as his knowledge is not joined with love that builds up, his knowledge he possesses poses no real danger. It will actually undo him and those around him, and they will never even know it. And that is the sweetest victory we can achieve, taking a man down with the very things he imagines are making him better, just like we did with the Pharisees." How sweet that was. "Your master, Legion." I read that and I was like, ouch. We need to be on guard against intellectual pride. Are you marked by intellectual pride? Another type of pride is little g God pride, little g God. This is pride related to our daily walk with God in three areas: your quiet time, your prayer life, and obeying God's word. In other words, if you do not pray, you do not read your Bible, and you do not obey your Bible, then you are proud. We're effectively saying, "I am actually God, and I don't need to ask God for help through prayer, and I don't need to read God's book, the Bible, and I don't need to obey God because I am God." Prayer is when a humble person starts their day acknowledging their need for God, and then they continue to cry out to God for help throughout the day. Owen Carr put it this way. He said, "A day without prayer is a boast against God." Or look at this verse. Psalm 34:17. "The righteous cry out, and God, the Lord, hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles." If you are proud, you will not cry out to God for help. You will. If you do not pray day to day, you are proud. You're saying, "I got this one. I don't need your help, God." And similarly, if you do not read God's word daily, you're basically telling the God of the universe, "Nope, I don't need your thoughts on life. I've got it covered." A humble heart reads the Bible daily to learn. But if we read, there must be obedience. We cannot have just knowledge. It has to move to obedience. To hear God's word or to read God's word and not obey it is the height of arrogance. If you read a verse that says, don't get drunk, or be sexually pure, or don't gossip, or honor me with your money, or you work hard at your job, and you ignore that, you're just being proud. God, I do not really care what you say about my sexuality or my speech, because I am actually God of my little universe. God said, don't look at women lustfully. See, in my world, it's cool to look at naked ladies who aren't your wife, because I'm the God of my world. Are you marked by God pride? Do you think you know better than the God of the universe, and so you do not pray, you do not read your Bible, and you do not obey your Bible? The last type of pride I want to discuss is religious pride. Some of you are proud of how righteous you are. You're proud of your good works. Well, I go to church, I serve, I give, I read my Bible. Jesus talked about this in Luke 18. He said, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, God, I thank you I'm not like other men, robbers and evildoers and adulterers and even like that tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give 10% of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He could not even look up to heaven. He beat his breast and he said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, this man, the tax collector, rather than the other man, the Pharisee, went home justified before God. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Some of you are proud of your religious good works holiness. You're like, I read my Bible, I go to church. I sin so rarely as to be never, effectively. Your religious good works-based pride will lead you straight to hell. You will sit there in hell with your Bible study notes, your giving records, your memory verses, your moral purity, and you will spend the rest of eternity burning in hell because you rejected God's help. Because the Bible says very clearly, you cannot save yourself. There is nothing you can do to earn your way to heaven. Religion is just man saying, I will work my way to God. God says there is nothing you can do that can make you good enough to get into heaven. It's pride. It's the height of pride to say, no, I can make myself good enough to get into heaven. God says you cannot. You need a Savior. Cry out to me and I will help you. Jesus said, whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. The message of Christianity is simple. Every single person in this room is a wicked sinner. There is nothing you can do to save yourself, regardless of what you think in your mind. The only way is to cry out to God to save you. Are you marked by religious pride? If you are, tonight would be a good night to bend your knee and cry out to God to save you. Do not trust in your religious good works. Do not have religious pride. Say, God, I'm a wicked sinner that can do nothing, and ask God to save you. We'll end with this quote. John Stott said, at every stage of our Christian development, in every sphere of our Christian discipleship, pride is the greatest enemy and humility our greatest friend. Let's pray. God, there are so many ways that we are manifesting pride in our lives. God, I pray that you would give the men and women in this room eyes to see when we are elevating ourselves. And God, I pray you would give us the grace to grow in humility. We covered a whole bunch of different types of pride. I pray, God, that you would give everyone here one specific thing that they can meditate on and start lowering themselves. God, we want to be a church that sees when we're lifting ourselves up and we lower ourselves so that you do not need to bring destruction on us. God, it is easy for me to see pride in other people. It is hard for me to see it in my own heart. God, I pray we'd be men and women who see the roots of pride that are growing in our heart and we rip them out. I pray the Rocks Church would be known for being full of Christians who are humble. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.